RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Time to catch up with Tim Wilms with the Wilms Report, coming in from the unshackled.net, Melbourne, Australia. Tim, welcome back. What's the temperature?
It is very, very cold. It is still minus degrees Celsius in various parts of Victoria. Very, very cold mornings and very cold nights. There's a little bit of sunshine in the mid-afternoon, but yes, we're shivering through absolutely cold winter. And I told you how our Bureau of Meteorology, the bomb, got it completely wrong like they did summer. So I think we've just got to hope that I'm counting down the days until the end of winter and we have a warm, lustrous Australian summer.
Well, now here's hoping. Where's this cold weather coming from? Is it blasting up from the Antarctic or something?
I haven't looked at the exact meteorological factors. We're just feeling it.
Yeah, okay. You don't need to look in. You just know it's there. All right. Yeah.
Turning on our heaters full blast for those of us that can afford it.
Yeah, right. Straining the power system. Okay, let's get into it. By the way, great report last week from Tucker Carlson. Muslim vote being launched in Australia. Muslim vote sounds like a movement.
It is, and it's all coincided with the resignation last Thursday of Western Australian Senator Fatima Payman from the Australian Labor Party after she was suspended from caucus indefinitely after crossing the floor to support a Greens motion to recognise the state of Palestine with no peace process attached to it. And she later threatened to continue to cross the floor on the issue. Now, the Labor Party rules, since its entire existence, since it was founded in the 1890s, is about collective caucus solidarity. So if you cross the floor, it's automatic expulsion. But because Anthony Albanese realised that it would cause a backlash within, they hold the Muslim seats in Western Sydney where a significant proportion of Muslims live and vote. And so he initially said there'd be no punishment, but then the Labor faction said, "Whoa, this cannot stand. Oh, we demand action."
Oh, and okay.
So she was given an ultimatum that she'd be welcome back if she towed the party line, as has been the Labor way for over 100 plus years. But she chose to resign from the Labor Party. Now, the Labor Party, they're already backgrounding against her, even saying because she's an Afghan refugee, she wears the hijab, that she'd been planning this for months, because her first statement was back in May, the day after the budget, where Anthony Albanese had condemned the slogan "From the River to the Sea, Palestine will be free," saying it was inflammatory. She repeated it at a press conference in Parliament House.
And okay, yep.
All of these Labor ministers and backbenchers, including other Labor Muslim MPs, Ed Husic and Anne Ali. I should mention Anne Ali she's also from Western Australia, the member for Cowan, doesn't wear the hijab. She was born in Egypt.
Okay.
Husic is a Bosnian Muslim. So, but they'd all been rebuffed. So they're saying that she decided to isolate herself and are speculating that she was talking to this recently launched Muslim vote organization, which is a carbon copy of the UK Muslim vote website. And I'm not sure how closely you followed the UK election. I and a couple of my colleagues did a live stream, but it was pretty scary to see those five pro-Palestine Gaza independents win, and they came second in about five seats. And there was a very confronting at the town hall results, a Muslim mob who heckled the Labor MP who just survived Jess Phillips. And so there's also another organization that's just launched, Muslim Votes Matter, which so the Muslim vote, they rank the MPs where a significant amount of Muslims live. Tony Burke, who's the employment minister, his electorate has 25% Muslims. They rate him on support for Palestine and they say that he rejected ceasefire motion. Then there's Jason Clare, who has 32% Muslims living in his electorate. This is according to the ABS 2021 census.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, and they go down the list. So there's already organizing, and the Muslim Vote Instagram account has already done a candidate call out and advising them. And also Fatima Payman met with Glenn Drury, who's also known as the preference whisperer, because
okay.
we have, I'm not sure how familiar you are with our voting system, but preferential voting, you have to rank all of the candidates from one to however there is. So different from the UK system, first past the post, which led to a lot of distorted results. That would actually mean that it would be harder for these pro-Palestine Muslim candidates, if they are going to run federally, to win on preferences. Because they have to get, and certainly the Liberal Party wouldn't preference them. Peter Dutton, the opposition leader this week, he said that if the Albanese government was re-elected, then they'd be in minority with Greens, Teals, which is the pro-climate female independence, Muslim independence. And the ire of Australian cricketer Usman Khawaja, who is a Muslim, was born in Pakistan. Last year, he wanted to wear all lives are equal on his shoes to show solidarity with the people of Gaza. So he tweeted on his Twitter X that he quoted Peter Dutton, "It will include Muslim candidates from Western Sydney. It will be a disaster." And Usman Khawaja said, "As a Muslim who grew up in Western Sydney, I find this comment from someone who is running for Prime Minister an absolute disgrace, bigotry at its finest, fueling Islamophobia from the very top."
Oh, gosh, it's really, it has a sense of kind of cutting up a bit rough.
And we've seen that, I'm not sure if you're following the Euros, but the French African soccer players, most notably the captain Kylian Mbappe, said that if Marine Le Pen's national rally is elected in the legislature, we won't feel comfortable representing France in the future. And that might have had an effect, because they have finished third in the second round, the national rally. So we're sort of seeing a bit, this is sort of a hint that we could see that sports players who are from different racial backgrounds and religions say, well, if you don't vote the way that we like, we're not going to represent your country. So that means no more World Cups, championships.
Well, okay, so be it, maybe. They should stick to the sport, shouldn't they? Really? That's what I'm thinking.
Well, that's normally what especially the sports fans expect. I know that Mbappe said that, well, this is not a normal election, that it's centre-right, centre-left.
Well, no, it is a normal election. People go out and vote and they make their choices. I know I'm not trying to convince you, but, you know, if you don't get what you want, it doesn't mean it's not normal.
Obviously, we've experienced governments which we believe that haven't served the nation well, but I'm still a proud Australian, you're still a proud New Zealander, and you still love your country. You just want it to be governed by
rational people,
more competent people who also respect freedom and liberal democratic values.
Yeah, absolutely. And there have been some what, high-profile protesting going on as well, related to what we've just been talking about?
Yeah, so on the day Fatima Payman resigned from the Labour Party, there was a group of pro-Palestine protesters who managed to scale Parliament House and unfurl in front of the public entrance banners. One of them was "From the River to the Sea, Palestine will be free." Then a list of the war crimes that had been committed inside Parliament House, and then "No peace on stolen land, genocide since 1788, tying it in with the Indigenous industry grievances. Now, this was called a security breach because it was on the top of the public entrance. But the way that our Parliament House is designed, that you can actually walk up the grass, like there's actually grass on top of the building, and it's very easy to get over the pigeon spikes on the security fence. So that'll need to be beefed up. So it wasn't designed very securely if you can sort of walk onto the roof. And then we had our war memorial in Canberra, the outside Anzac parade, vandalized with "Blood on your hands" and "No war." And the Greens refused to condemn it in Parliament, saying there's people dying in Gaza. Are you worried about a bit of paint?
Oh, dear. Okay.
The fact that Labour, they're quite panicked about the Muslim vote being launched and this other organisation, Muslim Votes Matter, there is now talk of an early election later this year. And it was interesting that former Liberal Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull appeared on The Project last night. Sadly, it still exists.
He must be desperate.
In Australia. He's launched the second season of his podcast, Defending Democracy, which is basically about how Donald Trump threatens democracy. Malcolm Turnbull, I've mentioned
previously. Oh, yeah, how? Does he ever explain how or why?
Oh, well, it's the Robert De Niro argument that Trump are going to be a dictator forever.
Okay, so what's Malcolm Turnbull been on? Does he take something, do you think? Well, I mean, you got to ask.
He's very bitter that he was dumped by his party room in 2018.
Okay.
Actually, Peter Dutton, who launched the leadership.
So his ego has been badly damaged.
Yes, it has. And also he doesn't like Peter Dutton's nuclear policy, because threatens his renewables investment. So he is called Peter Dutton a thug in the past. He reiterated that again and said he couldn't think of anyone less suited to be prime minister of a multicultural society like Australia, and that Peter's got one tune that he plays, and it's all been all his political life, and that is division and animosity generally targeted at immigrants. Then why did Malcolm Turnbull make Peter Dutton Minister for Immigration?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, gosh. Okay, in Victoria, where you are, where it's freezing, I wonder how the transgender people are dealing with the temperature. The Victorian government's transgender TV commercial has, hit the airwaves? What's that all about?
Yes, there's apparently money in the state budget for it, even though, because as I've mentioned, the state debt is projected to be $188 billion by 2027-28. The latest round of health cuts where hospitals, they won't have, if they fall into deficit, won't have their budgets propped up. And hospital staff are being advised to turn off lights when they leave.
Oh, they got to that. Not in the operating theatre, though, right?
Well, I hope not. But obviously there's still money for all of the big builds, because that keeps the CFMEU happy, despite all the cost blowouts. And there's also money for all of the cultural Marxist, all of the transgender agenda. And so the launched very recently was the Unsaid Says a Lot advertising campaign, which is described by the Victorian government as an Australian first campaign in support of trans and gender diverse communities. It highlights many instances of discrimination faced by the trans and gender diverse communities every single day. And we want our audience to understand the impact of the non-verbal communication. So,
okay, so now we're out of verbal. So what is this sort of like body language and feelings? Feelings, nothing more than feelings. Is that what that's about?
So the first part of the ad features this lady. She's in an elevator, which is just about to close, and then an obvious-looking trans woman, biological male, enters the elevator, and then the lady, she has a panicked look on her face and puts her hand out to block it closing and exit the elevator. So because she doesn't want to share a lift with somebody who's obviously a biological male, she is the bad person there because making the transgender woman feel bad.
Okay, well, that sounds like putting a real woman in a particular light. There was a time when you'd never do that. So that's okay now, is it?
It's all changed now. So it's in the intersectional hierarchy.
Why didn't they use a man, another man in the elevator, for crying out loud, I wonder?
Well, I should mention that the trans woman is non-white. So there's a lot.
They're greatest hits of everything in there in just one shot. So, yeah.
One of the other scenes is where a non-binary person is approaching a barbecue and those present don't look happy to see them. Maybe this is because in the past.
Well, don't go to the barbecue then if he's not welcome. Go pick somewhere where you are.
And maybe this non-binary person in the past has made a big scene and insisted being called Zem.
Oh, man.
And then there's also a trans woman, biological male, big brown person being invited by female teammates to play here in their women's AFL team. And maybe that's because the rest of these women in the team, they want to win the game with the physical advantage of a biological male on their team and don't care about the women on the opposition team potentially being injured.
How's the stuff gone down?
Well, not well. It's seen as a waste of money and also insulting as well.
To women.
So Moira Deeming, the exiled Victorian Liberal MLC, did a reaction video with Sal Grover, who was touring New Zealand.
Yeah, we know Sal. Yep.
And so you spoke to her recently and said that this just goes against all the things that we've taught women about, to trust your instincts about your safety.
Yeah, I just would, you know, everybody has a right to feel okay. I get that. And this is an awkward one. But you can overplay your hand, man. You know, you got to be careful, is what I would say. And it's like they're baiting people. Okay, well, that's crazy. Big build contract signed for the Suburban Rail Link. I thought that you had a huge debt, Victoria. And you mentioned the union before. Are they involved somehow? Is that to placate them or keep them on side?
Well, it's a quid pro quo. So all of this big build, it gives work to the CFMEU's construction workers, and they donate to the Labor Party when it comes to election time. So this suburban rail loop, just the eastern section, it's so far going to cost $35 billion. We've had the Metro Tunnel, which was supposed to be open later this year, is going to be delayed until June 2025, is blown from $11 billion to $14 billion. And we've got the Northeast Link tollway that was initially costed at $10 billion, now blown out to $26 billion. I won't be finished until 2028. One of my unshackled colleagues, Richard Wollstonecroft, he lives near the Northeast Link and did an on-location report and said, looks like they're building the Taj Mahal because this is huge. It looks like almost like a shrine too, like huge tunneling tower. And then you have the CFMEU flags all around the construction sites.
Gee. Okay, and will these projects deliver value? Has anybody asked that question? Has anyone delivered an answer?
Well, we all love a new train tunnel and motorway to get us to places faster. I mean, I'll certainly be riding the Metro tunnel when it finally opens, and also it'll be very crucial to the Northeast Link where I am to get to the airport because it's been delayed by until 2023, the completion of the Melbourne Airport Rail Link, even though the Melbourne Airport has agreed to a elevated station, so that's been pushed out. But it's full tunnel ahead for the suburban rail loop and North East Link. It's a legacy of course, dictator Dan Andrews, who was in the Supreme Court of Victoria yesterday. He decided to comply with a subpoena for he and his wife Catherine's phone records from the day they hit back in 2013 when he was opposition leader in an SUV rental in Blougowrie where there were no one for holidaying. They hit a 15-year-old cyclist, Ryan Melman. They claimed that it was his fault because he didn't look both ways, but they claimed that he T-boned them, but we've seen the crash photos and it looks like that they ran into him. So he was very badly injured in the crash. So he had a punctured lung, broken ribs, internal bleeding, and lost 90% of his spleen. But he was banned from discussing the crash so he could get $80,000 in Transport Accident Commission compensation. He was represented at the time by a Labor-aligned law firm, Slater and Gordon. So the Supreme Court action accuses them of not properly representing him, and also, well, to get to the bottom of, because Dan Andrews actually drove away the unroadworthy window-smashed SUV. And also Kath Andrews, she wasn't breathalyzed after the crash, as is the procedure. And it's also interesting that Dan Andrews, chief of staff from when he was opposition leader that day, now is an assistant police commissioner over at Victoria Police.
Okay, Andy.
it is. And so Dan, he's hired a top silk to KC to represent him, $25,000 a day on top of his already existing legal representation from his favorite law firm.
$25,000 a day. Gee, he must have a few dollars stashed away, eh?
Arnold Bloch Liebler, which does a lot of the legal work for the Victorian government when Dan Andrews was premier.
Okay, yep. Oh dear, poor young person having to go through that. And interesting that they have to hand over the phone data. That could be quite revealing, right?
Well, that was what led to during the COVID hotel quarantine inquiry, the resignation of Dan Andrews, chief of staff, after it was revealed that he had misled the inquiry about what he knew about security guards being hired for the hotel quarantine and not the army.
Yeah, okay. All right, we'll see where that goes over time. And John Bisciuto will be in court. What's that about to finish up?
So Moira Deeming, who I just mentioned, the exiled Liberal MLC, for defaming her with that dossier, which obviously is related to when he, on the second attempt, expelled her from the Liberal Party room. Mm. In that dossier, he smeared Kelly J. Keene and Angie Jones of being associated with neo-Nazis because the National Socialist Network decided to turn up at that event. So John Pesciuto settled it with those two women, but not with Moira Deeming. But he's overseas at the moment, and in the Herald Sun, our major paper on Saturday, Sam Groth, who's a Liberal MP, ex-professional tennis player, said that he wants to be Premier. And I think New Zealand know that when the leader's overseas and they can find out that they don't have a job.
Yeah, arriving back is not such a joyous experience. Things can happen while they're away. Yeah, we've seen that a few times here. Yeah. Okay, well, you better watch it.
Interesting times here in Victoria, and probably more alarming times at the federal level, because certainly, the only issue for the Muslim vote organisations is Palestine, but I'm sure that they will come up with other demands as well.
Oh, we live in interesting times. Thank you, Tim, for another great report from your neck of the woods, Australia, but more specifically Victoria, Melbourne, Victoria, theunshackled.net. And maybe I'll have a look around and see if I can find that commercial, the transgender commercial. Oh, yeah, let's do that. And maybe we can do something with social media and the soundtrack with that. Maybe we'll do that between now and the next time we talk next week. Tim, how's that?
Sounds good.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.